Damn it, I just started a Pokemon battle.
Welcome to the Avengers Podcast, where we assemble weekly to binge the MCU and all things nerd, old and new. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, Threads, TikTok. Avengers Podcast. One word, ladies and gentlemen, A-B-I-N-G-E-R-S Podcast. Give us a like and comment and let us know what you think of the show. You want to check out a video version of the show? YouTube.com/TheAvengers. We're available all in our video form since Loki Season 2. Check it out and see the video version. Also, you want to support the show? Patreon.com/Avengers Podcast. $1 tier gets you access to our Discord, exclusive movie reviews, pre-show banter, all that good stuff. $1, guys. Patreon.com/Avengers Podcast. Consider supporting the show today. But I'm just one of your hosts, Brandon. I can't do it alone. Emmy, how you doing?
I'm feeling great.
That's good. Very original.
Hoping that something would come, and it didn't. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's the name of Emmy's autobiography. I was hoping something would come. The Emmy story.
And it didn't.
Yeah. Keith, how you doing?
It's time. It's now. I'm ready to podcast and eat sweet chili heat Doritos, and I am all out of Doritos.
Oh, shit. Good, because the crunching during the podcast would probably be a little distracting. Thankful you're... Guys... If you have not watched,
I'll dip them first.
There you go. If you have not watched What If Season 2, Episode 5, Captain Carter Fought the Hydra Stomper, please don't listen any further. That is what we're reviewing today. If you haven't, go away. Or if you don't care, hey, welcome. There's probably a mixed crowd out here, so who knows? But yes, that is what we're reviewing here today. What If Season 2, Episode 5, What If Captain Carter Fought the Hydra Stomper? There's a lot of opinions on What If, and Emmy, you've already got the head tilt and the, oh man, you know what? I gotta go to you. Your face is immediately just, I'm dying to hear your thoughts. What did you think of What If Episode 5?
All right, guys, so over Christmas break, after Christmas, actually, I tried to fix my attitude. I tried really, really hard to fix it. I didn't want to continue watching so bad that I watched all of the Twilight movies, which watched them, they are so bad. It's hysterical. The first one is the worst, and it is so funny how bad it is. I watched all the 50 Shades of Grey movies.
Oh my God.
Again, hysterically
that's like,
bad.
That's like
again.
50 movies. That's a lot. They have to through every shade, don't they?
They tried. Mm. And I don't know why I thought that would change my attitude. Like, if I watch this absolute garbage, like everything in comparison is going to be better.
100%. Oh man. So
burn.
So it worked and you loved this episode.
I started 5 and I'm sorry. My initial thought was before the episode even starts, I was like, who fucking cares?
Oh my God.
What if? What for?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Why for?
Yeah.
This episode, though, it gave me some glimmers of hope where I was able to continue, but
she wasn't in this one.
Yeah. Hope was not in it. She's in she's in a couple more episodes, but not this one, no.
I'm so interrupting tonight. I'm so sorry.
No, you're totally fine. I will say, spoiler alert overall. What if?
Spoiler what if, alert for Emmy on What If is that right there. Just,
what if we just didn't do anymore? Like, that's okay. And I'll once we get to the final episode, I will tell you guys. I think I had another epiphany, and I think aside from the AI generated, I think I figured out my issue with it. But this,
besides the AI generated, what do you say? What?
AI generated. I want an AI generated so that I can feed fun stuff into
okay.
it.
Okay. I was confused. And, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. That was my first epiphany. And then I also had an epiphany during this watch. But I watched all 5 in one sitting. That's probably bad.
Mm-hmm.
probably not the way to do it, but I had to do it that way because I'd procrastinated for so long watching shit movies.
Yeah.
So yeah, I this one had some cool elements to it, and I will get to those, but overall it was just kind of like, I'm sorry. I'm a big old wet fucking blanket, and I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I tried to fix my attitude.
It's all right. That's all right. Keith, tell her how wrong she is, please. Thank you.
I was worried at the beginning of this episode because I thought they were going to just do a retelling of Winter Soldier. And so I was like, also they said that Loki had a punchable face. And I mean, Tommy Hiddleston and I look almost identical. So I think that if he has one, then I have one. Emmy, do I have a punch face? What do you think?
No, I don't think Tom Hiddleston has one either.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
I can name some people. John Walker? Is that his name?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is.
Punch
Johnny
face.
Walks. Punch face. Yep. Yeah.
Every time.
The episode then branched off into being kind of Winter Soldier, kind of Black Widow, and all of the action sequences were phenomenal. They were really cool, and I think it's a good example of like, okay, the action in season one is good. The action in season two is far superior. The animation in general is far superior, but they did some really beautiful things in this episode just to make it seem less AI generated, maybe. I don't know. But by the end of this, going into this episode, I didn't know how much time we were going to spend with Captain Carter later. And if I'm being honest, in the grand calculus of the multiverse, I'd be fine with no more episodes with Captain Carter.
Oh, shit.
I love Haley Atwell. I love the character. I love the idea. But there's a what-if-averse out there, and we're still hanging out with the same, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, there's just so many things that could be explored and characters that could be explored. So it seems like time poorly spent in a way. But I do like the character. But yeah, other than that, the episode overall was middle of the pack for the season for me. It wasn't the worst. It wasn't the best.
All right, Emmy, before I get to my thoughts, I want to get back to you because you look like you are bursting at the seams. What's your thoughts there?
Okay. So I think that you just touched on what I said I was going to save for the finale. And so I'm just going to say it. Here's the, we all know what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Do it.
There's so many other stories to explore. I want like the fun, weird ones that we got in episode or in season one. Like I really liked the, what if Thor was an only child? I thought that one was fun. It was a one-off, just like one episode, stupid, what if, and I don't like that they've connected both seasons. I don't like that they've connected any of it. I don't want any of it to be connected. I want each I punched my mic.
You want it to be its own standalone universe almost within itself.
Yeah, like yeah. each
Like
each
a completely, yeah.
Just that. Completely its own thing.
Yeah.
And I think I would like that better.
Keith?
I know, we're not even going to get to your thoughts.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah. No, it's all good, my friends.
I was just going to say I want it to be its own thing in the sense that every episode is a different thing. A true anthology series would be great. I don't mind the idea of one character each season getting showcased the most and, you know, the best episode type of thing being in the live action MCU. What I thought we were going to get that was Strange Supreme last year or last time. And I guess it's like, what, 3 years ago that MOM came out?
Right.
So... yeah, that was a bit of a letdown after that episode slapped so hard. But yeah, I hope maybe we see something like that with the new character.
Well, we saw Captain Carter, but she was only around for 5 seconds.
True, exactly. So that was, yeah, there you go. So we've seen her the most featured in this whole series, plus in live action form. I'd like to see her in live action form again. I don't need any more what if episodes.
Yeah.
So
period.
Kind of agree and disagree in a weird way. I think Captain Carter is such an absolute badass, but I'm also a Captain America fan, so she has a lot of shades of Captain America. I know. All right. Well, I'm going to switch it over to me so people don't have to see your stupid square things. But I really enjoy Hayley Atwell. I wish she was in the MCU more. I wish she was more prominent. I wish when she did return as Captain Carter in the live action MCU, she was more of a prominent role than just kind of a quick tool to make Scarlet Witch look powerful and then get ransacked by a bunch of rocks. It's just, I really, the thing I have a problem with, and it was Clinton's critique last time we did What If as well, that's kind of ringing in my head about, my God, the Steve Peggy story. When are we going to get over the Steve and Peggy and the Steve and Peggy? And it feels like multiple episodes this season, we've seen the Steve and Peggy, the Steve and Peggy. They don't feel like love-struck puppies in the MCU, but they feel like love-struck puppies in What If. Watch the first Captain America. It's fucking beautifully well done. Like, they have a really good professional relationship that develops, and that's fine. It feels organic in the very first Avenger, and I like that. This, it's like Steve, Peg. I've not heard so much talk about pegging. Yeah, I've not heard so much talk about pegging without being fully satisfied at the end than this episode. There's just so
since our podcast.
Since our podcast. So it's just, that's my thoughts here, is I love Hayley Atwell. I am all for seeing more of Captain Carter kick some fucking ass. Love it. The plot at times sometimes feels a little stupid because Nick Fury saying, yeah, there was rumors of the Hydra Stomper, but do I believe Bigfoot? Do you know what universe you live in? Like, of course there's a fucking possibility. So you're either lying to Captain Carter or you're dumb. But either way, it just doesn't feel like Nick Fury. Doesn't feel like Nick Fury's going to straight up lie and lie in a very dumb fashion if he's going to do it. It just sometimes that failure of logic because they got to quickly tell the story is, no, just say, yeah, there was rumors of it and we didn't debrief you because it was a code 7 or something like that. Just say that. And you weren't cleared to hear about it at that point. Say something like that. It makes more sense to me than, do I believe in Bigfoot? What the fuck? Like, it just, that's the stuff that kind of drives me nuts because you're dumbing down these characters that you're saying are canon. And so, either way, overall though, fucking love Captain Carter. I'm sick of the love-struck puppy nonsense. The plot holes are a little bad, but to see a fucking baby shoot out like fucking cannons out of its fucking hand, I was like, fuck yeah, that's fucking crazy. That's probably one of the craziest fucking things I've seen in the MCU. Enjoyed that a lot as well. Bucky is an old man. Secretary of State, is that what I think he was in this episode as well?
Yeah, was the same thing as Robert Redford.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, I had to rewatch that because I was like, wait, that's Bucky? Hold on a second. It is Sebastian Stan that is voicing him. Did not look like Bucky to me. Sorry. Yeah. White man syndrome.
Bucky's not an old ass man.
All white men look the same. I'm telling you, especially drawn. Holy shit. Like, look at Keith and I drawn right here. Look. Which one's which? You can't tell. You have no idea which one's which. Yeah. Anyway, just checking. But no, it's one of those things where, but I guess I think Keith said it very best. Middle of the road. I had some things I really liked about this episode, things that just were very forgettable, also the love-struck Peggy and Steve story that does return later on in this season. So we'll touch on that in that episode as well. So,
to counteract your point, I don't know.
I love the fight in you that you just have to disagree with somebody, and I fucking love you for it.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was like, very critical of it, and you were very critical, and yeah, you're like, to disagree with you, Brandon, you little fuck face.
You know what? This episode's great.
Yeah, I fucking like it now because you don't.
I called somebody a jackfruit today. I don't even know what I intended to come out of.
Don't be
a
jackfruit. Don't do it. Oh,
seeds are poisonous.
Oh,
listen up, you little jackfruit.
There it is.
Okay. I really liked the moments with Steve and Peggy because I'm a sappy romantic. I enjoyed it, and I did tear up whenever they're on in that gazebo and the song starts playing. I did tear up. I did, because I'm a sappy girl.
Fair enough.
It was an opportunity for them to show the brainwash factor too, of like him being like the Winter Soldier. What if Steve was the Winter Soldier? It's like there's all these little what ifs within a what if scenario, like the plot of Winter Soldier is very much about platonic friendship between these two guys, that they're brothers, they're friends for life, and now we're getting a romantic version of that instead. And does their relationship mean more than the brainwashing? He was brainwashed, right? This is so long ago that I watched the episode.
Yes,
was I know. Brainwashed?
Yes, okay, he cool. was.
So
yeah, I was looking at my notes and I was like, I don't even know what that means anymore.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I've got notes that I think I'm mixing up a couple of episodes as well. But to have them like, okay, is love thicker than, you know, electric shock, I guess.
And that's another no. thing too, where it kind of what I loved about what Infinity War and Endgame did so remarkably well is because the MCU was very linear of we're not willing to make sacrifices, Captain. You know, like they were very, very linear in that approach. And Infinity War and Endgame kind of just burst that all open and saying sometimes sacrifices are for the greater good. Obviously, we saw that with Iron Man and Captain America in particular, as well as the entire, you know, Infinity Saga just kind of teaches us that moment at the end. Love that. Absolutely love that. And this show seems to kind of just revert back to that old mentality, like Steve. And it's like, oh, come on, guys. You know, like that's the Hydra Stomper. Obviously he's controlling you. Peggy, don't be dumb. Don't fall for it. You know, and that's where it's like, you know, when she went to, what was it? They were going towards the Red Room location to like revert, like, come on. Come on, you just immediately see him and that's it. And, you know, he's being held. It's one of those things where it's difficult because I have such respect, profound respect for these characters. Mm-hmm. I really do. And this series sometimes makes me want to not respect these characters. And I don't like that feeling. And that's the biggest critique I have. The second biggest critique of this series, and I'm sorry, this is What If Episode 5, but we'll get on with our episode, I promise, is... sometimes the stories feel very repetitive. They feel very like, let's just shoehorn this person in and say the same exact story with a couple of little different elements.
Yeah.
And there it is. But hey, oh, but here's this person. You didn't expect Hela to be Thor in this episode. You know, it's like, but she goes on a similar story arc as Thor. It's fucking Cate Blanchett. It's fucking rad. It's great. But we've seen the very same thing, the crown and the mud as well as the hammer in the mud. We're going to get to that one. But that's my critique of What If as well. Sometimes it just feels like copy paste. Rather than something fresh and exciting. And when they do something fresh and exciting, Cahorty, it feels amazing. It feels wonderful. It feels worth the investment of watching. Mm-hmm. I wish they would lean more into the Cahortys of the MCU rather than the, well, what if Hela was Thor? Am I right? You know, just like it's, that's what I want out of What If, because it's very hot or cold for me this season. I've actually really liked a couple of episodes. Really, really liked a couple of episodes. And then there's a couple of episodes. Oh, this is why I feel this way about this series.
Yeah. So I think that the concept alone requires so much living in the past. Okay, yes, you've rewritten, okay, this person this happens to this person instead of that person. You've got a lot of the writing done for you. How lazy are we gonna be on the writing at that point? And when you get a character, it happening to a different character, and you get that voice actor in, it feels very cool to see them react and how they would react differently to the same narrative. But at the same time, the lazier episodes do seem to lean more into, oh, let's just let this whole thing play out like it did the first time. And then there's other episodes where, oh, what if Doctor Strange went back in time, became the most became the most powerful sorcerer in the world, and it ruined him entirely. You know, that's where that deviates so far from what we saw in the MCU, so that makes it a brand new, fresh, original thing. So I think some episodes are good at that, some episodes maybe not so much.
Mm-hmm. I like those episodes that just plug in a new person and like, because I feel like that's AI for me. That's kind of what I want, is that you're just plugging in a new character. Yeah. And just seeing how the rest of the movie plays out. Yeah, I don't hate it.
So we'll get back. We're going to get to the episode 5 plot in particular, because this is all about the continuation of last season with the Hydra Stomper with Steve. And Steve, obviously, he's been on a tear. He's the most dangerous killer, I believe, per Fury in the world. And we see that Black Widow had knowledge of this Hydra Stomper still existing. Nick Fury obviously did. Peggy feels betrayed by that. But we see Peggy still have faith that Steve can exist and he can be a good person, even though he's being kept alive just on the Hydra Stomper tech at this point. But he has a beard, and what a beard it is. Good job, Steve. Way to grow that out.
It makes the way that they draw skinny Steve so much more tolerable when he has a beard. Yes. Him in a later episode is like, why did you make his nose so freaking fat? And I didn't. I'm not a fan of how they draw Steve.
No, it is.
Little Steve.
And Stomper being the world's most dangerous killer, obviously just, you know, a little electricity. There's Steve. We got him back. But then they go to the location of the Red Room to, you know, and that's, if there's a cure, that's where it would be. And they go there and we see that, Steve and Peg rekindle their relationship. This is the part Emmy liked. Everything's faster, Peggy says. You know, the internet, the way the world works, but the dancing is still slow. Ow! And sorry, I'm sick. That was not as good of an ow as I would like to have had, but
he's got the apple bottom jeans.
Boots with the fur. You know, the whole club was looking at her. Am I right, Emmy? And so there was creepy robots. Who wants apple pie? The baby made me laugh out loud. I fucking thought that was hilarious. And then we see, obviously, the widows show up. We see Black Widow's mother, sorta, show up. And we see that Hydra Stomper is still being controlled, very much so. But Steve's out there. The portal opens up, takes Peggy. I skipped a note. Steve explodes the Red Room. Not really exactly a happy ending, says the Watcher, but then again, this isn't the end of her story. Steve, basically, Peggy was like, hey, I'm done fighting. I don't want to fight you, Steve. And Steve's like, oh, girl, that was the apple bottom jeans got me. And he just goes and explodes the Red Room and takes Widow's mom with him, and shoots out into the sky. I actually really like the ending. I like that there was consequences, there were stakes, and Steve didn't make it. I mean, the Watcher says, hey, there's no happy ending here. I really, really appreciated that they, at the end, that's part of the elements I really liked. Yeah, it was a quick turn. Not really, you know, what? Was he under control? Was he not? Was he kind of? Kind of gave me Bucky Barnes vibes, because Bucky kind of was somewhat in control. One hand on the wheel, one hand off. Feels like the same thing with Steve here. So I can rationalize that. And I love that Steve made the sacrifice play in a very unique way to take out all of the Red Room. So, pretty cool ending. Overall, babies with crazy tech in their hands that are robots and exploding Steve Rogers. Sign me the fuck up. Yeah, some flaws, but yeah, I'm going to give it honestly a middle to thumbs up. That's kind of, I'm kind of like right here. I'm right in the, I'm kind of like 10 o'clock.
There.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a 10 o'clock thumbs up right there. So
fair. Not two.
Not two. Ten. Gosh, no. Two is awkward.
No.
Don't okay. Hold your hand up right now if you're listening to the audio version of this and try to do a 2 o'clock thumbs up and
not if you're driving.
O'clock. Not if you're driving. Jeez. Keep hands on the wheel.
That'd be 10 and 2 in a different way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep 10 and 2 on the wheel at all times. Does anyone do that? Do you guys do that? I drive with one hand.
I can't drive with my penis is what my brain said. I'm sorry.
Is this AI? So we've actually hired AI to be Emmy, and it's kind of close to how Emmy would respond. It's pretty remarkable, actually.
I actually stopped myself from saying that answer. I was going to say cock, but penis.
I can't kinda take you anywhere. I just can't take you guys anywhere.
This is why we can't have nice things.
No.
Both drive with your penises.
I'm done. I ask an innocent question.
I don't. I know. I do a. It's an underhanded thing. It's just in this. It's an underhanded thing.
If you're not watching the video version of this podcast, you're missing out. So I will just say that. Yeah. All right.
I have one big nitpick in this episode.
Okay.
And it's just Melina. Mm-hmm. I don't believe Melina would be. Maybe she's easily coerced. I don't know. And we just didn't get that moment like you do in Black Widow, where she's kind of evil and then you get talked into being, I don't know, maybe she needed the whole family to be there in order to be swayed to the good side. But she in the comics is a character named Iron Maiden, and they didn't put an iron mask on her. If they had just put an iron mask on her and then she reveals that it's Melina, like give a little bit more comic book source accuracy type of thing, that would have been a great nod. If you're gonna make her a bad guy, if you have to make Melina the bad guy, Put an iron mask on her. Bob's your uncle. You've got a great comic, very accurate female character.
I like it. Good critique there, Keith. Fair point.
Thanks.
Emmy, any notes about the love story that you were enthralled with, or anything else you want to touch on about how much you love this episode?
The love story. Okay. When they were in that cabin that was on like an island by themselves. Mm-hmm. First of all, my thought was all he needs is true love's first kiss. Or true love's kiss, or however the saying goes.
That was Shrek.
I was like, okay, That'll snap him right out of it. Like, he just needs true love's kiss. Mm-hmm. Kiss him, Peggy.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Kiss and peg him?
In the balls.
Kiss and peg him.
I thought you said kiss and peg him. Did you say kiss and peg him?
Yeah.
True love's first peg.
I understand. If you look closely, there is a hatch in the back of that suit.
That's my second point.
The poop chute.
Peggy is She's very concerned with the fact that they can't take the suit off. And I feel like the thought behind that is, how am I supposed to have sex with him?
There's room enough for two in that suit.
That Peg is always thinking well in advance about how she's going to get that Roger's dick. That's great.
Yeah.
Just imagine a version not made for us, but a version where
there's some fan fiction out there somewhere that's already done this, probably. Go on.
The mask is open and his head just comes down, and then you just hear like rumbling, and the suit kind of jiggles back and forth a little bit.
And he just
a lot of metal hitting.
Yeah. I can just see him popping out in like a little square, like ding. He just comes out like a freaking easy bake, like a Pop Tart or something, some shit out of the toaster. He's I'm here. I'm ready to go.
He comes out of the butt flap.
Yeah. Just completely ejects. That's great.
10 more minutes.
Yeah. Your Steve Rogers is cooking. He'll be right out. Yeah. That's great. You'll be good.
I want to touch on some other things that I absolutely loved about this episode. Mm-hmm. The first being,
you start with some of this when we start the show, so everyone doesn't immediately turn our podcast off? I need you to have some loves in your pre-show thing.
It could have been a dry blanket.
Yeah, dry blanket. No, you were
I'm still wet.
Oh, okay. Well, speaking of pegging, what are some things you loved?
That intro was really cool. The whole like Battle of New York, but with Peggy instead of Captain America.
Yes,
great. I like that. And they still did the like, let's go for a ride, and does the boost off the shield.
Right now.
I was like, that was the moment that I was like, okay, I fucking care.
Yes.
That's who fucking cares. I see it now. Because I hadn't even seen that yet before. I was like, I'm gonna turn this off. Sorry.
Yeah.
The Winter Soldier vibes, I actually really enjoyed, and I loved when they're on that boat that Peggy's suit is also muted like Captain America's is in the way. Like, I liked that touch. Like, she also got like the
great note,
like the black and white and blue suit instead
of the strike suit, which is really great. Yeah. Yeah. Good note. Good call out.
I knew that. Yep. Oh, I also liked. and I forget when this happens, it's when they're in the creepy town.
Mm-hmm.
There was a point when there was lighting through like bullet holes. It might have been
Black Widow. Oh, yes, it was.
That was really cool.
I think it was Black Widow. Yeah. I think, was it Black Widow? Yes, it was. I think it was Black Widow. I think you're right. The art, I will continue to say that, Emmy. I think that's a great note that you called on at the very end. The light coming through, the light, the contrast. There's times where I'm just watching this, and I kid you not, throughout this season, I have not paid attention to their mouths at once. One time. Now, is it perfect? No, but it's not distracting to me. So that is great. Two, there's just set pieces that I'm like, oh, I'd love a freeze frame of that and just have that on my wall.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of beautiful art here. I think What If Season 2 is a gorgeous show. I can say that throughout, because hypothetically, if we've watched the entire season now, I've been so impressed with these artists. They did a remarkable job. I think they had more time, to Keith's point in a previous episode. I definitely think they've had more time, and it shows in their work.
And it's a combination of not only the art itself being fantastic to fill the frame, but also how we get from piece to piece, the direction. Like, there's no camera in this, obviously, but the direction of photography is really stepped up its game. Like, there's this side panel, side-scrolling shot where I think the Black Widows are after Natasha, and it's just over fences, under fences, and there's these great, like, it's just very cool. And to see that kind of get stepped up as well and have great art to focus on in those shots is fantastic.
Yeah well said.
I also really liked that there was a parallel that we had Rogers the musical in the Hawkeye series, and that Captain Carter also had her own musical movie that came out that she didn't realize happened.
Fucking right. So
another parallel that I just the nice little touches.
Give us those musicals, MCU. I would actually watch those. That would be great. So
bullshit, you would.
I really would.
You would watch that like I enjoyed What If.
I realize I like musicals if they're like a certain... I saw a musical the other day. It was the second time I've seen it, and I fucking love
it. What is it?
Hairspray?
Book of Mormon. Fucking love that musical.
Okay.
And so I realized I kind of like musicals because the whole time I was just loving every second. So I think with the right material, I'm fucking game, man. So...
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, if the writers of Book of Mormon could come and create the musical Rogers and
fuck Carter, yes. Oh great. My god, I know kids couldn't see it, but it would be fucking wonderful. All right.
I've not seen Book of Mormon, but
you,
I want to.
You do. You need to. It's good.
There was also a parallel. She falls a lot, like Steve. You're welcome.
That was in your notes.
Is this something they mention in the episode, or you noticed?
No, she just falls. Steve falls a lot in all of the movies.
Have you seen Civil War? Splat a couple of times.
Yeah.
I'm gonna pay attention to that more on my next watch through. What I'm thinking of right now is, I think it's, what is the place at the beginning of Civil War where he falls from the building onto the truck and then onto the hood of the other car.
I thought that was the beginning of.
No, that's Civil War. And there's
is an, it? I yes. thought that was Age of Ultron.
Logos?
Logos. Yeah. And there was an audible Logos. Gasp in the theater when he splatted. I remember the theater going, oh, shit. Like, people, like, I love how the Russo brothers made you feel that impact. Because it didn't feel just like, oh, Captain America fell, jump back up. I mean, he was like, ah, and like, got back up, obviously. But I fucking love that. The visceral action from the Russo brothers cannot be understated. Fucking rad.
So much of what Steve, like, the best way to feature what Steve's power set is, is not only his determination, obviously I could do this all day type of thing, but like, his body's souped up. It can handle these kinds of hits. It can handle this kind of abuse, and he still heals quicker than most people. He's still able to get through. His adrenaline must be crazy higher than anybody else's, as far as giving him that painlessness. Yeah, and can't get drunk. There you go. So I really like that when they feature Rogers and Peggy.
And Peggy.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Well, guys, thank you for joining us. What If Season 2, Episode 5. I think it was a mixed bag, but overall, not too bad, you know? So thank you so much.
The cliffhanger.
Oh, the cliffhanger with Doctor Strange.
What the hell is this?
Hold on. So
segue right into that next one.
So Steve's out there somewhere. Really. A portal opens up and takes Peggy, and she will save our queen, perhaps save our world, Wanda Maximoff. And it's Elizabeth Olsen. Holy shit. Mm-hmm. We'll see that play out in a later episode. So good call out, Keith. Thank you. All right. We're gonna head on. Thank you so much for joining us. If you want to support the show, patreon.com/Avengers Podcast. $1 gets you access to our Discord, exclusive movie reviews, pre-show banter, and a bunch of other cool fun things. So check it out. $1, patreon.com/Avengers Podcast. We appreciate your support. Also, you want to check out the video version of this podcast? Maybe you're already watching the video podcast of this version. If you are, like, comment, subscribe. Appreciate it. And if you're not, hey, YouTube.com/TheAvengers. We really appreciate it. Guys, we're going to head on out of here, but we're going to keep on rolling with some What If reviews. So here they come. You should already see them in your podcast feed or your YouTube feed. Either way, thank you so much. We appreciate you listening. Keith, Emmy, any final thoughts before we head on out?
Oh, I already turned the page. Damn it. If I was a superhero, I would want to be known as the Stomper.
Captain Peggin Carter will return.
If you were a superhero, you'd want to be known as the Stomper, Emmy? Is that? That was
your box stomper?
The Stomper. Just Stomper.
Any specific kind of stomping?
All
right, hit the music.
Texas kind.